Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together from Psalter 1, stanzas 1 and 2. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. We mention to you Psalter 1, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this morning you can find in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, the first 18 verses. We mentioned to you Romans chapter 8, but before we will listen to the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Romans chapter 8, verse 18, verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing among us this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast made all things and upholds all things, thou who art that majestic holy being high in the heavens, and thou who holds our life in thy hands. And it's because of thy long-suffering patience and goodness and mercy that we may again enter into thy house on this beautiful morning, the first day of the week, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, we beg thee that as we have gathered together in thy house, may we ask thee, may we beseech thee for thy presence. Lord, that thou would come among us with thy presence by the work of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, thou art faithful to thy own name, for thy own honor, for thy own glory. There's no reason in us, because we have sinned everything away, if thou would deal with us according to all our sins and iniquities and transgressions, then we must be cast away. But Lord, we beg thee, then for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, may we beg upon him who sits at thy right hand, in whom thou art well pleased, Lord, for his merits, for his name, that thou would gather with us and give those blessings from above that we cannot give ourselves and that we need, each one of us, each boy, each girl, each teenager, each adult, each older one, all of us. We need thy grace. We need to be born again. And we need the leading of thy Spirit. For Lord, without thy Spirit, there is no life. It's all death. And by nature, we also resist the work of the Holy Spirit. Come then, irresistibly. Lord, we have heard the law again and the gospel. Oh, wilt thou bless then the preaching of thy word, the law, that it may wound, convict of sin, and lead as that schoolmaster unto Christ. And that thou would richly bless the gospel, that poor, needy, guilty, lost, wretched sinners may be comforted by the salvation that is in thee in a triune God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then work mightily, irresistibly, for thy great name's sake, for the salvation of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. Lord, may we lay then the whole congregation before thee. Look upon in mercy all those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, maybe living as a Pharisee, maybe living as a prodigal. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give life, that thou would open closed hearts, that thou would take away hearts of stone and give a heart of flesh, a teachable heart, a heart that hungers and thirsts for thee, for the living God, a heart that has an urgency and a need for a mediator to be reconciled with thee, that God against whom we have sinned. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come and bless thy word richly, mightily, powerfully, irresistibly. We ask, Lord, that thou would remember then also thy dear people. Care for them. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts as we begin in this morning, in a week of preparation. But it is a week of preparation for the entire congregation. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, that thy word that may be proclaimed in this morning may be clear, simple, according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that each one of us may listen, and that we may examine ourselves. Do I know of that life, of the grace of God worked in me, or do I miss it yet? Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come. Our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We need thee to speak. We need thee to shine light upon our hearts. We do not only need thy help to listen and to preach. We need thy presence. We need thy work of the Holy Spirit to uncover, to discover, but also to comfort. Oh, we beg thee then for the leading of the Holy Spirit, for without that leading of the Spirit, we remain in our flesh, enemies of God, without God, no need for a Savior. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come and give life and lead to that only Savior. May he become so necessary. May he become so suitable. And may he become precious and more precious. And that in this week, thy dear people may decrease, and that thou would increase, that they may not only grow in the knowledge of self, that they may see more abominations, but that they may also grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee, then lead thy people to the table under that shelter of thy wings, to be comforted, to be fed in their souls with the living bread, thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him crucified. We ask then that thou would then send help from the sanctuary to listen, to take away all other cares and distractions, and that we may listen to the word of God that the Lord is speaking, but also to give help to preach. Each time is a new time. Give the unction of thy Holy Spirit, Lord, for thy glory, for thy honor, and that thy kingdom may come also among us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, do not pass us by, but gather with us. Give us a good day in thy house. Take away all the distractions, all the hindrances. Cast out the evil one who would like to pluck at that seed and who would like to distract. Oh, bind him up, Lord, and that we may have a good hour with thy presence for the glory of thy name. Lord, we ask that thou would remember then also all those who are mourning. We pray, comfort them, those who have lost children, a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, other relatives, a friend. Remember the widows, Lord, among us. Comfort them. Remember all the sick and afflicted with cares for the body, for the mind. Oh, we beg thee, sanctify all these callings. Oh, may we hear thy voice. Thou art speaking in everything through thy word and through all the acts of providence prepared to meet God. We ask, Lord, that thou would remember then also, as there's wars going on in this world. Oh, we beg thee, have mercy yet, and give that thy word may yet go throughout this world to all nations, that thy kingdom may come, that thy sheep may be gathered, those who are under the seal of election may be sought, found, and brought in to that one fold under that one shepherd. Remember thy people also, Israel. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, fulfill thy promises unto them, and that in all their afflictions, that it may be a turning point, that there may be life out of all the sorrow, of all the grief. But also remember all their enemies. They have also souls for a never-ending eternity. Oh, we pray, Lord, work among all of them for the glory of thy name, and richly bless the precious gospel. Bless all mission work, Lord, among Jew and Gentile, locally, in this nation, but also through all the nations. Help each one who is called. Lord, we're sinful instruments, but may we be instruments in thy hand, that sinners would be born again, and that sinners may be led unto that only Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless also thy word in Bolivia. Help thy servants there, and especially remember Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, the church workers, and their families. But remember also the Bolivian people. Bless thy word richly, mightily, to their never-dying souls. And Lord, remember also in this week, as there will be a sending out service for Mr. Christian Braidwig, help him. Bless also thy servant, Reverend and Hollander, who will preach and lead this service. Help him. And Lord, we ask that all may be in thy favor, to thy honor and glory, and that through these means thy word may yet go out also continually in Bolivia. Remember the mission board. Guide and lead them by thy word and spirit, Lord. And look upon us then in this morning, as we may again hear thy word. And remember also those who will be traveling in this week. Guide them, keep them, and protect them. Bring them to the destination, but also home again in thy mercy. And remember also Henrietta Schulten, who may return in this past week to Bethany Care Home. Care for her, not only for her body, Lord, but also for her never-dying soul. Care for her, her husband, and the family. But all of us, Lord, we all have a soul. We all need thy grace. We need to be taught who we are. We need to be taught of that only Savior, that way of reconciliation, that way back to thee. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us, because thou could righteously pass us by because of who we are and who we remain to be, sin. But we beg thee, upon the merits of thy dear Son, because of him, because of his righteousness, and because of his blood, gather with us, Lord, and bless us with that work of the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Lead us, guide us, have mercy upon us. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 69, the first five stanzas and more if necessary. Psalter 69, the first five stanzas and more if necessary. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord, try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. 69, the first five, more if necessary. In the collections for this day is the first for the church and the second for the school target. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord willing, next week, the Lord's Supper will be administered among us. And the Lord Jesus says in Luke 22, verse 15, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. What a wonder. And so we enter into a week of self-examination, a week of preparation to rightly attend the Lord's Supper for the glory of God and for the comfort of poor and needy sinners. Who is commanded to attend? Well, we read in the Heidelberg Catechism in question and answer 75, especially in the answer, the following, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup in remembrance of him. So who are the believers? Who are those who are commanded to attend, to eat and drink in remembrance of him and of his death? Paul in Romans 8 describes two types of people, two different groups of people. He makes a description between the unbelievers and the believers. And he repeats a phrase in this chapter two times, in verse 1 and in verse 4. The following, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So who are those? Who are those? Who are the unbelievers? Who are the believers? There's a separation, congregation. There's a separation in the preaching between the precious and the vile. There's two groups of people. The precious are called and invited to attend, and the vile are not called. Who are the precious? Who are the true believers? Who walk after the Spirit? Those are attended, invited to attend the Lord's Supper. The Lord invites them for their comfort. He wants to comfort their souls with himself. But the vile, the unbelievers, those who do not walk after the Spirit, but who only walk after the flesh, those who are dead in sins and trespasses, those who only follow completely the lusts and the desires of their flesh, they are not invited to attend. No, they're called to do something else. They're called to repent from all their sin, and they're called to believe the gospel, and they must abstain. They must abstain, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier, we read in the form. So may I ask you, are you walking only after the flesh, or are you walking after the Spirit and falling many times? Falling many times, but it grieves you. So are you walking only after the flesh, or are you walking after the Spirit? Paul states in another way of walking, but also being led. And that's our text for this morning. Romans 8, verse 14, where we hear from the Word of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So are you led by the Spirit, or are you only continually led by your flesh? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? How can I know if I am led by the Spirit or if I'm only led by the flesh? Well, with the Lord's help, we consider that from the Word of God. The theme this morning is the true Christian is led by the Holy Spirit. We'll meditate on the following three thoughts. And we are called to examine ourselves. And may we beg for the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that he would work mightily, that he would bless the word to the conversion of sinners, that he would give light to those little lambs and sheep, and that they may be led by the Spirit to the table. And so three thoughts. Why do we need the leading of the Holy Spirit? Well, we read, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Second, how does the Spirit lead a born-again sinner? What manner does he lead him? Where does he lead him? To whom? How? Where? What manner? And in the third, what is the fruit of the leading of the Holy Spirit? So the theme, the true Christian is led by the Holy Spirit. First, why do you need the leading of the Holy Spirit? Congregation, Romans 8 is a profound, beautiful, beautiful chapter in the Bible. In this chapter, we read about the adoption of God of wretched sinners. We read that there's no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And these people know themselves as Paul knows himself in Romans 7, wretched in themselves, and their only hope is in Jesus Christ. These people have a reason to have joy, to rejoice, sorrow in self, but to have joy in God, in that triune God, the Father who chose them, as we read in this chapter, Romans 8, verse 29 to 30. And God the Son, who died for them and intercedes for them. We read this in Romans 8, verse 34, for example. And God the Holy Spirit, that enters into them and dwells in them. Romans 8, verse 9 and 11. So who are these people? Who are these people that have such great, profound blessings in a triune God? Well, in these first 13 verses, Paul gives a description. He gives a description and he gives characteristics of those who are blessed, who have this great blessing of adoption, of no condemnation, and he summarizes it all in one text. He comes to a conclusion, and that's our text. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Congregation, being led by the Holy Spirit isn't an option. Some Christians have it, some don't know. If you are not led by the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. And if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are a Christian. It's not an option, it's a profound necessity, it's a profound truth. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And by nature we are born of the flesh, dead in sins and trespasses. And we live according to the flesh, and we live after the flesh, and we're only led by the flesh. Listen to what Octavius Winslow said. Man left to self in guidance as a fallen creature possesses vast and uncontrollable powers of self-destruction and nothing more. Man is lost. Man doesn't want to know the way. He doesn't know the way. He doesn't seek the way. Cannot find the way back to God. Cannot get into the right way. He must be led by the Holy Spirit. Congregation, all religion without the work of the Holy Spirit is only a stench in God's nostrils. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because without the Spirit, it's all flesh, carnal. Without the Spirit, it's enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Without the Holy Spirit, you will forever only remain a child of Satan. And you will only live according to the flesh. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need it, my friend. I need it. We need the leading work of the Holy Spirit. What do we read in the text? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Without it, we may be very religious. We may be a Pharisee, or we may be very notoriously wicked as a prodigal. But without the Spirit of God, we are not a true Christian. We may cry like Ahab. We may cry like Orpah. But inside is still all death, a hard heart. We may have a repentance, as Pharaoh, as Judas, but not the true repentance of those who are led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit regenerates, convicts, convinces, enlightens, comforts, unites to Christ, sanctifies, indwells, conforms, witnesses, intercedes, and seals. We need the complete work of the Holy Spirit. The essential work of the Holy Spirit is absolute essential. And all this work of the necessity of the Holy Spirit can all be summarized in one word: led, leading. Paul said this in Romans 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit." And he repeated it also in Galatians 5, verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit." My friend, it's indispensable to be led by the Spirit and not only by our flesh. Led by the Spirit of God. What does this mean? What does it mean? Who leads? What's the Spirit? That's the third person in the Trinity, in the triune God. He gives life, and he dwells in, and he leads sinners. He gives life, and he leads them through the whole life until they enter into glory to be forever with their Lord and Savior and the Almighty God. Led by the Spirit. That's guided, directed, led, influenced in your whole being. Led by the Spirit of God. They receive an action and they receive a continual action. What do I mean? They receive a action, regeneration, and they receive a continual action, sanctification. This work begins, the leading work of the Holy Spirit begins with regeneration and it continues through sanctification their whole lifetime until they die and then they'll be raised to enter into glory. The Holy Spirit first, by leading, regenerates and then he dwells in and guides and leads. He first quickens and takes the sinner, so to speak, by the hand and leads them. My friend, you need, I need, we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the leading of the Holy Spirit? We need that precious work. And to be a true Christian, to be one of those who may rightly attend and come to the Lord's Supper, we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need life. We need life, or we are not his children. Leading. When the Holy Spirit leads, regenerates, and dwells in, it has an effect. It has a powerful effect in the life of the sinner that they never, ever had before. What is it? Open your Bibles to Galatians 5. We'll read it there. The effect of the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 17. There comes an effect by that powerful leading work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." There comes a battle. There comes a battle in that led sinner by the Spirit of God. There's an inner battle. Love is poured into their heart. And that two opposing parts in them, the old man and the new man, there's a war, there's a battle because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. My friend, do you know of a battle? Do you fight against your flesh? Do you want to crucify it? Do you want to mortify it because you love God? Or do you just live according to your flesh? Are you just guided by your flesh? No, you don't like the consequences of sin, but there's no sorrow for sin. There's no fight. There's no battle. You're at peace. Peace with self, peace with sin, peace under the power of Satan. Do you hate your own evil lusts? Do you hate that? Do you hate your own evil lust that comes in your mind, in your thoughts, but surface out of your heart? Would you just like to get rid of it? You want to have it pure. Why? Because you love the Lord. You just want to serve him. Or is that just all missing? If it's missing, please do not attend the Lord's Supper. But if this is true, you may come. That's one of the Spirit-led marks of grace. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. This means that the Lord begins, but he also sanctifies. He conforms that sinner to live according to the Spirit that dwells in them. That in them. Listen to what we read in Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. My friend, are you walking only after the flesh, or are you walking led by the Spirit? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that Spirit is holy. It's a Holy Spirit. And the Spirit conforms them according to the image of Jesus Christ, who is holy. They have the same Spirit, Christ and their people. It's a Holy Spirit, and He leads to holiness. That's the purpose. We read this in Romans 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Are you being conformed? No, not just to follow the flesh, but by the Spirit to the image of Christ. You say, that's quite something. And yet that's the beginning, a small beginning in this life. The Holy Spirit leads the sinner to be conformed to that Spirit that dwells in them, that Spirit of Christ, that Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost. New life is planted at the moment of regeneration. And the Spirit leads them. And He will keep them. He will guide them. He will hold on to them. They fall, He brings them to repentance. They're weak, He gives them strength in Christ. He leads them day by day. And children, remember that picture in Pilgrim's Progress? You see that fire? And there's that one putting water on that fire. And that fire keeps burning. That wouldn't happen in your backyard. If you had a fire and your dad said put the fire out and you'd pour buckets of water, that fire would go out. But this fire keeps burning. Why? Because on the other side is the oil of the Spirit that keeps being poured on. And that's a picture of the heart of a child of God. It's all that flesh, but it keeps living because of the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit. Sinners are led by the Spirit. Their minds are enlightened, and they're guided. Their wills are guided. Why? Because our minds are darkened and against the will of God. Has your mind been enlightened to the truth of who you are, of who Jesus Christ is, who God is? And has your will been conformed? Is it changed? Is it shaped? Taking away all the weapons of resistance, taking away all. And is your heart conquered by the will of God? By nature, we are completely dark. We know a lot of things here, but do we really know them here? We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. By nature, our wills are rebellious against God, but God conforms them, changes them, renews them. And sinners led by the Holy Spirit begin to understand the truths of the Word of God, and they begin to walk in the ways of God. And that Spirit leads, and they learn more and more about self, and at the same time, more and more about who Christ is. He leads from self, sinful self. He leads to Christ and to holiness. My friend, do you have the necessary work, the leading of the Holy Spirit, or are you only led by your flesh? What do those Spirit-led sinners begin to do? They begin to pray. They begin to cry. For example, as David did in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart. Unite my heart, Lord, to fear thy name. By nature, we only resist. By nature, we're enemies. We're lost. We're wicked. We only walk according to the flesh, as Paul said in verse 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit, or are you only led by your flesh? But what else does it imply? What else does it imply? They have no ability to lead themselves. Yes, that's those poor sinners. They need help every day. They need to be led. It implies they don't have the power to lead themselves. They're afraid of selves. They have no ability. Just like someone cannot change the color of their skin. They have no ability. As Jeremiah said in chapter 23, verse 13, can the Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. No one, no totally depraved sinner will change his way, will live according to the truth without the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need regeneration and we need sanctification. We need to be made holy. And we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. We must repent. We must believe. We must be in Christ. But we need the leading of the Spirit. Because without, we're lost. We're dead. We're not children of God. We will not repent. We will not believe. And we will stay under the wrath of God. My friend, do you know and see how urgently we need the leading of the Holy Spirit? But do you also see that blessed work of the Holy Spirit? Because without the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can be very religious in many ways, but we will not become a true Christian, a true believer. Without the Spirit, we are not Christ's. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8, verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's no place for those. I must say it very simply. Those who do not have the Spirit, there's no place for them at the table. And congregation, sometimes we put ourselves under so much pressure. I need to attend the Lord's Supper. I need to attend the Lord's Supper. Well, if you have grace, yes, you must. But if you don't know if you have grace, then you may not force yourself to be at the Lord's Supper. Then you need to repent. You need to believe. You must know you have the marks of grace before you can come as a child to sit at the table. So I beg you with all my heart, search, examine, and if it is true, then you must come. But if you come to the conclusion that you absolutely don't know and you're just waiting for some emotion, some special call, my friend, wait for light. Wait for light. You cannot deny someone you do not know. But if you do know him, you must come. I beg you, beg the Holy Spirit to give light. And that you, who are those little lambs, who are the sheep, that you may be led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? Do you see without the Spirit, you're absolutely lost. Lost. Without God, without Christ, only according living to your flesh, death. May it bring you convicted of your sin on your knees at home and cry to God, have mercy on me. Have mercy. I'm one mass of sin. I only live according to the flesh. Lord, convert me. Give me life. Lead me by that Spirit. Do that first work and that continual work. And children of God, God worked in you. He sought you. He saved you. He gave you new life. And you need that continual leading. Continue leading or you will perish. And you're so polluted. And then this week, maybe you will see more and more sins in your thoughts and your words and your deeds. May it bring you down in yourself. And that you see that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But may it lead you crying, seeking an urgency to need that Savior who has everything that you need. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. By nature, we're like a blind man. By nature, we're like a lame man. We don't see the way. We don't want to walk in the way. And we need help. We can't walk. But God seeks. He saves. He gives light to blind sinners for the way. And he gives feet to those who cannot walk in the way so that they begin to walk in the way. That's what God does. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 42, verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. Do you understand that? You didn't know the way. You heard it, but you really didn't know it in your heart. But the Lord took you. He led you in a way, in the right way. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. New ways. They heard it their whole life, but it comes so new. That way, that path to God through Christ. I will make darkness light before them. It's all darkness in yourself. But he comes and he gives light because he is the light. and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. What a necessary work of the Holy Spirit do you have? The leading of the Holy Spirit? Or are you only led by your flesh? So how does the Holy Spirit lead a born-again sinner? Our second thought. Congregation. A man sometimes tries to train an animal. I've tried that with cows. They're strong. They're stubborn. They don't want to lead. So you by force tie them to your tractor with a bar and you put a halter on their head and you just start slowly pulling them. And they slowly relax and they follow. You do it by force and that animal must surrender. Otherwise, it's just one fight. Is that what it is? Does God force sinners, dragging them, leading them? No, not at all. Not at all. He enters in. He takes that heart. He takes that heart. He bends the will. He comes with love. And he influences that being, the being. And he persuasively, kindly, lovingly leads. And they become willing. They become willing. Psalm 110 verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Have you become willing? Past fighting against God, but have you become willing? Has your heart been captured by his grace, by his love? Has it become broken? Broken. Have you become a little reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Children, remember him, teenagers? In the garden, what did he say? In Matthew 26, verse 42, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He surrendered to the will of his Father. He lived his whole life the will of his Father. And true Christians, led by that same Spirit, that Spirit of Christ, become willing in the day of his power. They surrender. They surrender. Paul knew this. Enemy. He was changed. And what do we read in Philippians 2, verse 13? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He makes them willing. And that flesh is so strong. Yes, that flesh is still strong. But they know that life of Romans, they want to do good, but that evil is present. And why do they want to do good? Because that will has been changed. It has been bent kindly, lovingly, by God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, and they want to follow, but that flesh wants to go the other way. That battle. But they do become willing. How does the Holy Spirit lead? He leads by his word. The word is a light upon their path, up to their feet, and a light upon their path. They begin to love the word, read the word, want to know the will of God. They meditate upon the word. It becomes light upon their path because they want to know the path of God. Or do you only read the word because you have to? Or do you read the word? Do you search the word? Do you want to know the will of God in all his ways, in all things, for your life, for your heart, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a single one, as a teacher, in everything, as a single one, everything, to know the will of God? Before you only loved the things of the flesh. They were sweet. Sin was sweet. But now it's not sweet anymore. It's bitter. But is there something else sweet? Has the word of God become sweet to your soul? You read the word. You want to hear his word. You want to hear his voice. It becomes the most precious word to hear. As the psalmist said, Psalm 119 verse 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth, the bitterness of the flesh, but the sweetness of the word of God, of Christ, to your soul. The Holy Spirit works in, leads, and guides. And he sanctifies them. He regenerates them by the word, but he also sanctifies them through the word, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in his prayer in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Congregation, read the word of God. It's the means of the Holy Spirit, the leading to regeneration and to sanctification. church of God, lamb's sheep, read the word of your Father sealed in the blood of the Lamb of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that you may be led, guided by the word, taught, dying in self, and finding life more and more in Christ. How does the Holy Spirit lead? Through the word, but also through the preaching. Through the preaching. Prayerfully come and attend the preaching. Beg for the Holy Spirit to help the sinner in the pulpit. Beg for the unction of the Holy Spirit. Beg for ears to hear. Beg for his presence. Beg for a blessing. That you may be led, born again, and led by the Holy Spirit to true repentance and true faith. You need the work of the Spirit. And church of God, lambs, sheep, beg. Beg for him to increase your faith. And then what you will learn? More of self. But also, beg for the increase of faith that you may learn more of Jesus Christ. Beg that he may sanctify you, that you may live more for the glory of God, that you may produce more fruit for him, for his glory. Or do you not care for these things? Do you not care? Or is this your heart? Beg him to conform you. Beg as Robert Murray McShane said, make me as holy as a sinner can be. For thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory. The Holy Spirit works and he leads. And he leads his people to the gospel table. He leads them to that Savior, Jesus Christ. And he also leads them to the table, to the Holy Supper table, to feed them with those signs and those seals. Why? Because he wants to comfort them. It's such love. It's such a blessing. They have so much, and he gives that extra blessing because we're so foolish, so unbelieving, so hard-hearted to really believe that love of God that passes all understanding. And so he says, come sheep, come lambs, sit at the table. He leads them by the Spirit to death and self, but to Christ, and that they may come to that table, that they may see the bread, taste the bread, see the wine, taste the wine. Why? Because he wants to seal that love to their hearts. I'll say it simply. He wants to speak and say to them, I love you. I gave my life for you. I've given everything for you. What a blessing. What mercy. What grace. What a blessing to be led there. And by that table to also receive these great blessings. He leads that Holy Spirit. He enters them. He dwells in them. And he guides them, giving them also in their heart to do things. As Simeon, remember him? He came into the temple exactly when that child was there, Jesus Christ. The Spirit led him. And so, children of God, when you feel in yourself, I need to do something, and it's according to the will of God, do it. Listen, follow. The Holy Spirit opens doors that we would like to be closed. And he closes doors that we like to be open. He leads and guides, as he did with Paul, to bring him exactly to that place where he needed to be preached, to preach the gospel on the riverside, so that Lydia heard and her heart was open. He leads his servants where they need to be, so that sinners can hear the precious word of the gospel. He leads and he continues to lead. And he guides all things together for their good. Not according to what they want, but according to what they need. He leads. He guides them. And we read in 1 Samuel 2 verse 9, he will keep the feet of the saints. Do you need your feet kept? What does that mean? Do you need your feet kept in that right pathway, guided and led? What a blessing to be led by the Holy Spirit and lambs, sheep. We fall so many times, do we not? So many times. So many wicked thoughts. So many wicked desires. You look and you see this, wicked. You think this, wicked. And sometimes you say wicked things. Sometimes you even do wicked things. And so we fall. And we deserve to be cast away, but he will not. What does he do? What do we read? Something so beautiful. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Do you want to be led by the hand of God Children, we like it when our father leads us, or mother, when it's scary. But to be led as a child, as a guilty sinner, to be led by the hand of God, that's precious. Is it a cry in your heart? Lord, lead me. Do you hear this? And there's an echo. Lord, just lead me. Take me. That's the people. They want to be led. They want to be guided. They want to be led. How does the Holy Spirit lead? He leads them from self. How does he do that? He convicts them of sin. And they begin to get sick of self because their sin is that you. Are you sick of self because of sin? It's just all sin. The Holy Spirit leads. He cuts it all off. He leads them to not trust anything of self anymore. No self-righteousnesses. It's all filthy rags. He leads them from depending upon anything of their own wisdom, of their own strength. He leads them to surrender as a lost, bankrupt, guilty, polluted sinner before a holy God. He leads them that they become greater, no, the least of the saints. They don't sit in the consistory room and think, I'm number one. No, I'm the least. My brothers are above me. That's the heart. That's the heart. That's what we need. Like a child, looking, loving, caring. He leads from self. But where does he lead to? He leads to that only Savior. He leads to Jesus Christ. Their hearts become what we read in John 6, verse 68 and 69. Lord, to whom shall we go? Others left. Others could leave that Savior, but they can't. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He leads to death and self into the midst of death. And I hope you experience that week and this week in the midst of death and self. But not only there, to life in Christ. He leads them from self and he leads them to Christ, to those beauties, to those riches. He takes a guilty sinner and he leads them to the cleansing blood of Christ. He takes a weary sinner, weary with all the sin itself, and he leads them to that power of Christ, to that comfort that's in Christ. He takes a sorrowful one, and he leads to that joy and that compassion that is only in Jesus Christ. He takes a tempted one with all the temptations within and without, and he brings them, leads them, to the grace and the fullness that is in Christ to stand in the temptations in this world with all the flesh and all the sin. He takes those assaulted ones, battered, bruised, weary from all the attacks of Satan, and he leads them to hide under the wings of Christ. Are you led from self? And are you led to Christ? What a blessing. What a life. They are the sons of God. And they may come, those little lambs, the little sheep, they may come and sit at the table under those wings. May the Lord lead by the Spirit each one of us, that we may die to self and find life in Christ. Let us sing now from Psalter 60. Psalter 60, stanzas 3 and 4. Show me thy paths, O Lord, teach me thy perfect way. O guide me in thy truth divine and lead me day by day. Psalter 60, stanzas 3 and 4, standing. Thank you. The true Christian is led by the Holy Spirit. We heard a little something of the necessary work of the Holy Spirit, and a little something of how the Holy Spirit, to whom. But maybe now a question in your heart: how do I know? Maybe you know already, but maybe there's still a question: how may I know? By the fruits. By the fruits. We read, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How may we know if I'm led by the Spirit of God? By the fruits. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7, verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." And Paul mentions in this chapter, especially in the first 13 verses, a contrast before following the flesh or by the Spirit. Walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Please open your Bibles to Galatians 5. In this chapter, we read of the fruits of the flesh, and we read the fruits of the Spirit. We read of the old man and the new man. We read of those that have both. It's a fight, and yet they have fruits. And we read of those who only live according to the flesh. And as we read these verses, don't think about your neighbor. Think about yourself. Ask, Lord, what fruits is in my life? What fruit? Who am I? Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." So the list isn't ended. And I don't have time to explain all these words, but maybe at home, parents, read these verses again and talk about them with your children. This is all the works of flesh. The work of the flesh. Is that still you? Only this. Only this. Living according to it. Following it. Loving it. Eating it. Sweet. And if this is still you, listen to what we read further in verse 21. "Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But there's, I want to insert something here in Corinthians. Those people lived according to all these sins. But Paul said something. "But such were some of you." Such were some of you. They heard the gospel. It was blessed. They were born again. And this became what they fought against. Is that you? Maybe you say, "That's me. That's how I lived." And maybe you could add many more wicked things. But have you been born again? Led by the Spirit? And it's a grief that you have lived in these things, and your heart is still inclined to these things. Because in the hearts of the children of God, those that are led by the Holy Spirit, all these seeds of sin are still there. And we need the continual leading of the Holy Spirit guided. But now the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22 through 25. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Which of these two are you being led by? Which of these two are you walking by? What's your heart? What's your desire to live according to those fruits of the Spirit and love and peace and killing all evil, hatred, gossip, wickedness? My friend, you must be led by the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? And little lambs and sheep, I know what it's like. You look on your tree of your life. Where's the fruits? Is there any fruits? Is there fruits? But search your heart. Is there that battle that you never had before against sin, against wickedness? Why? Not because you don't want the consequence of sin, but because there's love for God. That's the difference. The difference. Do you know that? Do you know the life of Romans 7? That battle, that longing, wretched man that I am, but that hope in Christ. Have you become absolutely poor in self? And you become poor, 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 because you see more and more sin. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are the poor in the spirit. Those are the children of God. That spirit-led person crucifies the flesh. He fights against the flesh. Remember Joseph when he was tempted far away from home, far away from all the other people. He could have easily sinned and no one would have known. But God would have known. So he couldn't do it because of love for God. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? We need the leading, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We need to be held. We need to be kept day by day. A spirit-led person. He knows also godly sorrow against sin. As the Lord Jesus, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's the fruit. Poor mourners. But they become hungry. They become hungry for God. And they become hungry for righteousness. They want to be righteous, but they find no righteousness. And so they hunger for righteousness of another. They hunger for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Is that you? Do you hunger for him? Do you hunger to be righteous? And your only way to be righteous is in him. In that Savior, Jesus Christ. That spirit-led people decrease. Less and less in self. He leads them from self and he leads them to Christ. And he increases who he is. His glories, his beauties, his riches. And it never ever becomes old. It becomes new again and again and again. They want to hear it again and again. To hear of that righteousness, that perfect righteousness that satisfied the Father. They want to hear of that blood, that way to be cleansed, because it satisfied the justice that opened the heart of God, that they can be received as sons of God. The Holy Spirit guides sinners. He works in them to teach them of self, so they die, and he leads them to Christ. They hear about him. They're drawn to him in the preaching or through the wording, and they begin to believe in him, and they cry out, my unbelief, so much unbelief. But they believe, and they become the sons of God. Do they feel sons? So many times, they feel so far from that. They feel such wretches. Yet it is true. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. My friend, does the Spirit of Pentecost dwell in you? Has it led you? Is he leading you? Leading to death in self and to life in Christ? Or are all these things not known in your life? If this is true, my friend, you need to repent. You need to believe this week. May you die. May you seek God and cry to him, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, lead me, guide me, teach me, bring me to that only Savior where I'll never bring myself. But do you know something of the leading of the Spirit? You're called. You're kindly invited. No, you're commanded to come to the table first for his honor, for his glory, to testify that you're in the midst of the death, but that you only can find life in him. And if you know this, and if you deny him, then I tell you with love of my heart, it will only become darker. Don't look at all the other people. That's okay. Don't look at them. Look above. Look to the Lord. Don't fear man. Fear God. Do it for his name's sake, for his honor, for his glory. What wonders of grace. Oh, spirit-led people, may the Spirit lead you to death and self in this week. It's painful, but it's good. And that you may with longing to come to sit under his wings, to be fed in your soul by him and who he is. For wretched sinners, he sought you, he found you, he began in you, that triune God who infinitely loves you And he's so good, so merciful, so great, that in all your sin, in all your wretchedness, in all your unbelief, in all your wickedness, in all your sorrows, and all your troubles, he wants to bring you, to put you at that table, that you may sit under the banner of love and just have a little rest, to bask in the wonders of his love, to have a little place, a little rest, a little foretaste of heaven on earth, so you may be strengthened for the journey to continue fighting against flesh, Satan, the world. What wonders! What wonders of free and sovereign grace for such unworthy wretches. May the Holy Spirit work mightily, leading, guiding, teaching for his honor, for his glory, and for the comfort of wretched sinners. Amen. Almighty, eternal, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee for that necessary, indispensable work of thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of the whole congregation, that each one, by thy power, may be born again, may be led to death and self, but also may be led to life in thy Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee, care for thy people in this week as they will examine themselves. Oh, Lord, it's painful, but may we see who we are and who we remain to be, because it is true. It is who we are, that it may bring us into death and self, taking us off from all false hopes, all false grounds, from all resting places, to only find life in thee and in thy Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, do it, we beg thee, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the comfort of thy dear people. Lord, keep us in this day. Give that we may come again together tonight to hear thy precious word, to hear of that name, Christ. Oh, may we come with hungry and thirsty souls to hear of who he is for wretched sinners. Give opening to preach, opening of ears to hear, and give those blessings in our hearts and in our souls, Lord. Have mercy on us, we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 390. All three stanzas. 390, all three stanzas. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. 390, all three stanzas. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.